How would you like to scale from $100K to $1 million with virtual assistants? Chris Killy will tell us how, and what's so special about Chris is he's a Boston-based entrepreneur, author, and operations expert who helps business owners scale without chaos by building back-end infrastructure that actually works. And he's the founder of EO Staff, a premium remote staffing company known for placing elite virtual assistants into fast-growing businesses. And Chris built and sold four companies, including a payments business he scaled more than 10 times in 5 years using just one domestic employee and four VAs. And Chris, tell us, please, how can entrepreneurs who are currently making $100K per year scale to $1 million with virtual assistants?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
So first of all, thank you very much for having me on, Lily. I really appreciate it. I know whenever this popped up on my calendar, I was super, super excited to be able to jump on and be able to meet you and interact with your audience. And so first off, thank you very much. I would say scaling from 100,000 to 1 million or more is, there's two parts that go into it. First is people, but then the other is systems. Okay. And so it's easy to get to 100,000, 200,000, 300,000 by yourself because usually there's not a whole lot going on. There's not a lot of complicated processes. You may not have a lot of clients at the time, so you can still handle most of everything yourself. But once you get to a certain stage, usually it's between $350,000 and $500,000, depending on your industry. It's time to make sure that you have your systems and processes locked in, but then also having the people to run them. And so, there are lots of different tools out there and resources that can be used. And for me personally, I found virtual assistants to be one of the cheat codes for myself to be able to really replicate myself quickly and scale.
Thank you. Tell us about what are the systems that need to be implemented alongside hiring the right virtual assistants to manage those systems?
Well, I think that really, whether it's virtual assistants or somebody here locally or somebody, sitting beside you in the office, the systems and processes are important because they need to document every detail in the business, no matter how minute it is, because at the end of the day, you're looking to replace yourself. So as your company grows, and as you grow with your company, there's a hiring ladder that's used. And typically, most people will replace themselves in the administrative work first. So that's going to be email management. They may give up their calendar, being able to have somebody inside of their inbox, maybe, communicating with a couple of other people on the team, making sure that you are where you're supposed to be. And then after that, customer service, right? So typically, once you get to a certain volume level, you should be able to turn over your CSR duties to somebody else on your team. And to speak specifically to the admin part of it, it's really important, like I said, to have every aspect of every activity, no matter how insignificant you may think it is, to have that documented with playbooks and standard operating procedures. So as you do move through the hiring ladder and replace yourself role by role, it's easy to bring somebody in behind you.
Thank you. How do you manage the team to make sure that they are productive? Because I find that with virtual assistants, I've had many.
Okay,
And
good.
what has been quite interesting for me is that first, they are not you. And I find that a lot of them kind of like lack initiative until you sort of like empower them to take some initiative for certain tasks. And thirdly, I find that there's quite a big difference in terms of like how good they become and based on perhaps how you motivate them, how you empower them, and also how you kind of like enable them to take ownership of their work. Tell me about the kind of things you put in place to make sure that you can say got the highest possible productivity from them, and at the same time motivated them to be more than just, like the 9 to 5 kind of person, so that they can actually produce within that time frame the best they could possibly do.
Yeah, that's a really, really common occurrence that we run into. And it's a multifaceted question. So I think first, we'll address the elephant in the room, and that is nobody is you, right, Lily? No one's going to do it better than you for the most part. Typically, most people are not going to care about your business the way that you do. Now, they're on the team and they want to see everybody win. But, you know, at the end of the day, most people, no matter where you're hiring them, aren't going to have that same initiative and passion that you do. So first and foremost, that's something that is, you know, that should be addressed. I also think that where a lot of people go wrong with this is when you're hiring in other countries, specifically the Philippines, okay, because that's where I work, you get seduced by the people that say $4 an hour, okay? And that was the theme and still is the theme. I mean, if you get, you know, if you start looking up virtual assistants, you're going to start getting targeted on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, things like that. And that is the line that almost everybody uses, $4 an hour, $4 an hour. And just like here in the States or any other part of the world, entry-level salaries get entry-level people. So where most people, like, so the concept of virtual assistants has been proven over and over and over and over again. But what ends up happening is it's a people problem. You can't put an intern into do a director level position, which is what most people want. They want somebody who can think for themselves, somebody who has experience, somebody who has really strong communication, you know, skills, and is willing to show initiative and go the extra mile. And, you know, unfortunately, the reality of it is the lower level intern, first year, second year people, they just don't have the skill set or the experience yet. And so one of the ways that you can get that, right, is by daily training and empowerment. Okay. And there's something that we use, an internal process, for instance, that helps you to delegate and to help them own a process. Because I believe that's one of the things you said is you want to make sure you don't have to redo things over and over again and make sure that they do it the right way and they're taking initiative. And, you know, we have show, run back, own. Okay. So essentially, if I'm going to teach you something, Lily, for instance, I'm going to share my screen with you, or I'm going to, you know, whatever it is that I'm, the way I can physically show this to you, and talk through it step by step while you're here with me. Okay. And then once those instructions are clear, I'm going to have you try it a couple times and then bring it back to me. Okay. And so now I'm watching you, you're teaching me essentially. And most of the time, they're not going to get it right at that point. So you coach again and you go through it and you show them again until they've locked it down. Okay. And then once they've locked that down, now they own it. Okay. So there's the accountability for that. There is the, you know, there's accountability there. There's a sense of pride in it as well. So that's just one of the things that we teach our clients to do. And, you know, anybody, I really recommend that no matter where you're working, if you're looking to give accountability and ownership to somebody, that's one of the key things that needs to be done, is to be able to show them exactly what your standards are so they can get up to it. And then one more thing. So one of my mentors, Dan Martell, right? It's a friend of mine, spent a lot of time with him. He's got a line that says 80% done by somebody else is 100% awesome. So keep that in mind when you're hiring, you know, really any position. If somebody can get it almost as good as you, then you know what? Is it really that big of a deal, right? It's, you know, can this get by? And that's one of the things that we tend to remember, especially when we're hiring people that aren't, you know, very, very high level employees, right? Once you get to a certain point, then yes, 100%, 100%. But, you know, for the most part, when people are looking for a virtual assistant in their business, they're not looking for a CEO, like a CFO, you know, director level, anything above that, C-level person. You know, they're looking for somebody who can come in and just really manage day-to-day type things.
Thank you. What did you find most effective? Project-based payment or hourly-based payment? And also you mentioned, you know, the $4 thing, bringing mainly like intern-type people. Is there a certain kind of payment that kind of you found motivates them higher so they can actually perform well without errors, and to minimize errors and minimize, you know, like timekeeping and doing as little as possible for the kind of like hourly rate?
Yeah, I mean, I really honestly think it comes back to people again, right? That's when you're speaking of doing the bare minimum and just getting by and doing it to do it, those are things that need to be weeded out during the hiring process, right? References need to be checked. The right people need to be brought in. Test projects need to be given. And then a very, very clear and strict and disciplined onboarding program. And that really weeds out a lot of those C players, right? Because there are a lot of them out there. But, you know, what is one of the most effective ways to get the most bang for your buck is to spend the time up front and actually weed them out. Now, as opposed to full-time versus contract versus freelance, look, I mean, this all depends on one, you, what's your workload? Is it just a project that you can go to Fiverr or Upwork on and you know, submit a bid, you know, put a proposal out there and somebody gets a bid and then you just hire them? Is it a one-off job? Then if, you know, if it's a one-off job, like building a website or, you know, helping you with your high level or, you know, any of the other things that may not be ongoing, then yeah, I mean, I highly recommend doing the, going the individual route. Okay. But if you're looking for something that is going to continue on and, you know, you want somebody that's a longstanding member of your team and that you may not have to plug and place that role over and over again, then for instance, you know, then I would recommend going the part-time or full-time route. We do all full-time placements in my agency and we found that that works really well. But if you think about it as well too, here's another thing to really consider. Freelancers, no matter where in the world, have a different mentality than people who are looking for, you know, established, stable, full-time or part-time work. Okay. Freelancers by nature are relatively entrepreneurial, kind of transient, right? They may not be the most reliable, but they're, you know, but they're typically very, very good at, you know, laser focus on one, two projects at a time. And so it really all depends on what the output is that you're trying to achieve. If it's just kind of a one and done thing, yeah, absolutely. You know, go look, you know, for a part, go look for a project based, worker. But if it's something that you think is going to be, you know, more than just a one and done, you know, looking for somebody who may be, you know, part-time or full-time might be a great option.
Thank you. Tell me about the reliability aspect, because what I found is that I have only Filipino outsourcers and they are really smart and they're really great. And they are multitasking and, you know, we've spent a lot of time training them to do so many different things. But what I found is the reliability factor isn't quite there. So, I mean, I don't have a single person who like comes, okay, 9 to 5 or 9 to 6 or whatever time frame. They come a little bit randomly. And yes, they do the work, but it does annoy me that they do that. So I'm wondering which processes have you put in place to make sure that your virtual assistants come on time and come in the way that you were expecting them to come?
Yeah, I mean, well, first off, I'm sorry that you're hearing that. Do you mind if I ask you what price point you're at?
I'm not going to say.
Okay, but, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
All right, totally fine. I can tell you this. Just like with any other business, any other industry in the world, it's a people issue. So the way that you interview, the way that you screen, the way that you test background references, the way that you do social media screens, that's another one. You know, just the more work that you can do up front, the better you are at being able to screen these people out, especially during the first 2 weeks to a month, right? Everybody interviews great. Everybody interviews great. They show up and they have their press shirt on and their smiles and they're like, oh my gosh, this guy is incredible. I can't wait to hire him. And then sometimes they show up and you're like, yo, who is this guy? They were so great during the interview process and now they're late and now they're... And so, you know, we struggled with that in the beginning, right? We've been doing this for 4 years. First year, very, very difficult. And what we found is one, all of our VAs, they work for us. And we have our clients, okay? So we are the ones that are, you know, we have our stand-up meetings, we have our ongoing trainings, we have things that they are required to do to continue to collect a paycheck from EO staff. And we are very firm in that we don't tolerate nonsense, right? Do things come up? Do people get sick? Absolutely. And we are very, very tolerant of that and we understand how that comes up. But, you know, habits get set early, and also, you know, people are going to establish boundaries. And if you allow that behavior to happen in the beginning, and most people do this because it takes them a while to hire themselves, right? They want to go figure it out on their own, or they hire a headhunter and they just do it one time and there's not a whole lot of quality behind it. And they're like, well, I put so much time and effort into finding and hiring this person. Well, we're just going to hang on. Like, we're going to make it work. We're going to white knuckle it through. And what I have found is, you know, when somebody shows you who they are, you got to believe them. And we've kept people on our team longer than we needed to, and it always backfires. So especially in the beginning, if you're noticing somebody who's not showing up on time, if you notice somebody who's just flaky, right? You send them a message and they don't get back to you, you know, in a reasonable amount of time. You gotta put them on a performance improvement program quickly, establish expectations, and if they can't meet them, then it's time to go a different direction. So it's all about setting boundaries, but that all starts with in the beginning, whenever you're screening and trying to bring the right people into your business.
Thank you. Tell us about entrepreneurs that want to scale from $100K to $1 million per year with virtual assistants. What's the blueprint for someone to do that?
Yeah. So there is something that we call the hiring ladder. Okay. And it's a proven strategy that in the order of which you should hire as the founder to replace yourself as you go up. Because look, buying back your time is not about doing less. Okay. It's about having the freedom to do the things that matter. And if you as the founder are stuck in your inbox for 2 hours a day, or you're going back and forth, you're putting fires out over here and over here and over here, you're constantly just firefighting all day, you're going to have a really hard time scaling. And it's just because the $1,000 an hour work that you should be focused on is being sacrificed for $10 an hour work that could be easily delegated. So, you know, we have this thing, it's called the hiring ladder. And so we recommend that the order that should be hired to help you scale from 100K to a million or more is the first thing that you want to do is you want to take off those $10 an hour, $15 an hour tasks. And those can be done, by an admin. So first and foremost, one of the biggest wins that we get is we get you out of your inbox. Okay. Somebody can organize that inbox for you. And then you check it once or maybe twice a day. Okay. I check my email once a day for about 15 minutes. My assistant has it completely organized in it. So all the junk is gone. All of the things that don't need to be handled by me or could be handled by somebody else have been forwarded or archived or organized. And I'm coming in and I have usually 3 to 5 emails that I have to respond to. I do it and I'm out of my inbox, right? The second thing is calendar management and project statuses. So, you know, having somebody that can be behind you the entire time that you can delegate little things to, you can dump things on that can, you know, I text my assistant all the time. Hey, Faye, I need this really quick. Or can, you know, put this on my project list or whatever. And then it's out of my mind and it's out of my mind forever. And I don't have to worry about it because she's taking care of it. But I don't control my own calendar anymore. She makes sure that I am where I need to be, when I need to be there. She makes sure that I have all of the supporting information. So for instance, if I'm going into a sales call, I look like I have been prepared for weeks. And I'm going to be honest with you, Lily, most of the time I'm going in and I haven't prepared at all, but I have a document that I check 5 to 10 minutes before the call that gets me completely up to speed. And she handles all of that. So I show up looking like, you know, I'm like, wow, the people are like, wow, you are dialed in. And I'm like, absolutely. But in reality, it's my assistant that's doing that. You know, once you get the admin and those types of, you know, gatekeeping type things off of your plate, then we recommend that you hire customer service, CSR. So you bring somebody in who can, you know, who can respond to your customers, who can triage tickets, who can just make sure that you are not the every single, you know, you're not wearing every single hat in the business. Are you still going to have to interact with customers? Absolutely. Are you still going to deal with issues that have been escalated to you? Yes. And that's going to happen forever, right? But, you know, having somebody in there that can be that first level, that first layer, is something that is that, you know, that's invaluable. Okay. Once you hire customer service, then we recommend you hire marketing. Okay. So marketing, that person who's going to be able to come in and generate leads for you, right? Whether that's through ads or organic social media or, you know, all kinds of different ways that that can be done, right? Once you get the marketing and the leads taken care of, then you hire a sales rep. But the thing is as you are moving up the ladder, you're still doing the job until you replace it. So, you know, plan on being in the sales role for a year or more, depending on how fast you're scaling. Okay. And then if you really want to get fun, you know, once you're able to outsource the sales, now you can step into the leadership role where all you're focused on is CEO stuff, right? Big projects moving forward, maybe technology that you're going to add to the business, looking 5 years down the road and making sure that the business is prepared for that. So it's a baby step. Most people, they come in and they want to hire sales right away, right? And I understand that it's sexy and things like that. But if you don't have your systems and processes in place, there's a high likelihood that that's not going to be as successful as if you did.
Thank you. What about who checks, for example, payroll? Let's say you hire, I don't know, 10 different assistants, and then you normally would need to check their payroll to check, okay, how many hours they've done or how many projects they've completed, and then who gets to actually do the payment for all of them, and who gets to check all of their different work to make sure that whatever they've done is actually good enough to kind of go to the client as well. Do you hire a different person to do that?
No, we promote from within. So, see, there's two different parts to that question. So if you have 10 assistants, right, you should absolutely not have people reporting to you, right? There should be, you know, if you, let's just say, I'll talk about Faye again, my executive assistant. She is the gatekeeper between me and everybody else. There's only one other person that has direct access to me in the company. We have 12 employees. And Faye is the one that handles the preliminary payroll, right? And then I check it before the money goes out, right? Obviously we want to make sure there's still things that, again, you're not doing less. You're just focused on higher value activities. And so she's doing 90% of that work. I check it, I approve it, and then I initiate it. Okay. So, there's a thing right there with the money where I don't worry about the money because nobody but myself has access to it. If you have 10 different people, then there should be department leads in that. So if it's somebody in customer service, right, you're going to start with one person, obviously. And then as you add to that, when you need it. So for instance, with us, you know, we just hired another account manager, right? And our main account manager, she decided that she wanted to step up and become a team lead, right? Where now she is responsible for helping to train, helping to mentor, you know, keeping track, making sure KPIs are met, and then bringing that back to the leadership meeting. So as you grow, you should absolutely not have everybody reporting to you, but you can set up a little ecosystem inside that just looks like a normal org chart.
Thank you. What would you say are the biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs make when trying to scale from $100K to $1 million with virtual assistants?
Ooh, okay. First and foremost, hiring out of order, okay? If you don't have somebody watching your back as an admin in some capacity, doesn't have to be full-time, but you can't do it by yourself. If you don't have somebody that's out there being your gatekeeper, your linebacker, that's protecting you from everybody else that wants your attention. Because think about it, if you own a business, especially if a small business, people have their hands out all day. Everybody's always asking, hey, Chris, hey, Chris, hey, Lily, can I have this? Can I have your attention? Can I have your time? And to be able to have somebody to put in place in between that to screen from you and save your sanity essentially is invaluable. Okay. Another mistake that I see people doing is they're not putting the work in up front to create the systems, and then they wonder why it breaks. So you hire somebody, you know, a lot of times people will really cut the line when it comes to hiring, and they may not hire the right person anyway, because first of all, hiring is very, very hard. And anybody who owns a business can, you know, very, very rarely do you come in and are just good at it, right? It takes practice. And so hiring the wrong people, not spending the correct amount of time to build the systems. Okay. So when you delegate something to somebody, if they don't have a clear step-by-step plan, how to do it, how to execute, but then also the end result, like they need to have what we call the definition of done. This is what success looks like. If you don't have all of that set up and you try to delegate to somebody, there's a very high likelihood that it's going to fail. Then you're going to take it out on the person, you're going to fire them, and then you are back to square one. And I know this because I did it for many, many years. And it was only when I started to slow down and actually take the time to put things in place the right way that I personally designed, or if I didn't know how to do it, I hired an external person to show us how to do it. And then we took those SOPs and put them in place. But when they skip steps and try to rush too fast, don't have the right people on the team, it's nearly impossible to get there.
Thank you. What would you say are the biggest mistakes you've personally made when it came to you scaling from $100K to $1 million?
Oh my. Okay. Well, hired out of order, right? That was definitely something I did. I wanted sales reps immediately. That's what I always wanted. Give me sales, give me sales, give me sales. And what ended up happening was I ended up doing most of their job for them because I never trained them the right way, right? I didn't have time. I was too busy, right? We were trying to scale. We were trying to get to $1 million. And I just didn't have time. You're going to have to figure it out on your own. And that's a mistake. The second is not putting the resources behind it. So let me give you an example. Again, going back to what I said earlier about the $4 assistant, people get seduced by that and they go online and they see this. Oh my gosh, I can get somebody who's going to run my company for me for $4 an hour. And here in the States, if they were to hire directly, you know, that's a $100,000 a year position, right? At least for somebody to come in and run your company. But what I used to do whenever I was coming up before I learned about virtual assistants is I would hire cheap. Hey man, I don't want to sacrifice my income and my personal way of living. I don't want to sacrifice my lifestyle. I make comfortable money. And so you're either going to come in, you're going to work 100% commission for me, or I'm going to pay you a minimum wage plus a profit share. And guess what? It failed every single time. And I would always, you know, it's a bad hire can stay with you for years in terms of like the damage that they can do. And, you know, not to mention just having to start over again. But only when I realized that if you want high quality people, you have to pay high quality wages in order to attract them and get them to stay. That was when business started to move. And I was able to really leverage this with virtual assistants because I was able to get the higher level people that could perform high level tasks and do this in a manner that didn't really affect my lifestyle, right? Because it costs about a third of the price. And so, you know, an A player costs A player money and you get a 10 or 15X return from somebody that's a B player or a C player. And that's proven.
Thank you. Tell us some of the most profitable moves you've implemented in your own company to take you from $100K to $1 million.
Monthly recurring revenue. By far, without a doubt. When I first started this company, we were a placement service. So we took one fee, one time from one person, right? And what that meant was every single month we started at zero again, every single month. And, you know, I used to, I had a payment processing company for a very long time. And, that was the company that I actually learned about virtual assistants with. I scaled that from about 300,000 to a significant amount of money and was able to exit for an incredible amount of money because of the systems and processes I built with the team in the Philippines. Okay. So, that was a recurring money model, right? Where I didn't have to chase every single month. And so what I realized is I wanted that model again. I didn't want to be just a placement service because it's hard, right? You have to get out there. You have to compete, you know, every single month, right? You're going to have bad months, up and down. And it's very hard to play in that sandbox. So we decided we're going to go to the agency model. Okay. We're keeping everybody in house, right? And we're acting, you know, as a staffing agency where we now handle training. We handle the onboarding. We're paying the benefits. We are handling retirement. We are doing onboarding. We are doing ongoing training. We are providing all these things that we had to build a bigger infrastructure for. Obviously, it costs more to get that, and it was a lot harder for us to accomplish, but we were able to do it. But now we know that every single month, on the first of the month, that cash register is going to ring, and we're going to have, you know, multi-six figures in the bank already because of the client base that we've built up. And then everything on top of that's just gravy.
Thank you. What are some systems that you put in place that made the biggest difference to your profit?
I would say the biggest system that helped with our profit was we put systems in place for retention. Okay. When you are bringing on 100 clients a month or 20 clients a month, if you're losing the same amount because your fulfillment and your retention is bad, your churn is bad, then you're on a treadmill, or sometimes you even move backwards. My first year, we finished we did a great job. And inside of the second year, we had a setup and we lost 40% of our clients in 1 month, right? And that was when I took back and I looked at it and I was like, wow, okay, we need to make sure that this never happens again, because it was devastating. And so that was when we started building up our training, our internal training, our onboarding. And we want to make sure that not only now are we sourcing and interviewing and screening and acting as a staffing agency, but we're also now giving the ongoing training and ongoing resources, because we realize a lot of our clients have never had an employee before, or they've never worked with somebody remote. And so, you know, realizing that we are in the same boat as them in terms of their success is our success. And, you know, another thing that really sucks is when you see somebody in the Philippines lose their job, you get the email that, oh, you know, Chris, they're a great person, right? And we love them. But we just don't know if we can use them or not. That rips my heart out, because, you know, they're telling you that they're firing this person for no fault of their own. They just don't have a use for them. And I can tell you, Lily, with 1000% certainty, when they are trained properly and when they show the right initiative and when they come in and they want to be a player on that team, then that should never happen under any circumstances.
Thank you. What are the top sales systems that became the biggest profit-making schemes that you've implemented?
Schemes is a fun word, but I wouldn't know if I would go that far. But sell by chat, when we implemented that. Okay, so we do a lot of work in the DMs. And this was something that was, you know, the traditional sales method, if you will, is you go from a lead magnet to a appointment setter to your closer on the Zoom call, and, you know, a couple hours for each one. Well, we noticed that there's a lot of really high performers out there in the high ticket space, specifically coaching, that are doing sell by chat, where you're never on a phone call. Like you never take a call. And, you know, because you're able to qualify, you're able to, you know, give proof of concept, be able to, you know, show how you're going to be an incredible partner with them. And so what we did was we took the principles that we learned from those people and we applied them to our business. And now, right, you don't need, I don't have to have 10 closers, because I can have one person run in 10, 15, 20 conversations at a time. And, you know, and so now we are staffing, our quality control has gone way up. Our staffing costs have gone down, and we don't have as many people to manage, which means that life is easier for us, right? The less moving parts, the better.
Thank you. Do you have like a downsell and upsell strategy within that chat, the DMs?
I don't. Okay. And here's the reason why. So initially, when I started this business, we would place anybody at any time for any reason. If you wanted a web developer, I'd go find you a web developer. If you wanted a copywriter, I'd go find you a copywriter. We said yes to everybody. And if you sell to everybody, you sell to nobody, is what we found out, right? It's way too hard to scale. And so what we do, we have one client, one avatar, one message, and one problem that we solve. And that is the admin, ops, and lead follow-up. Okay, so that's the person that we put in that's got that. It's kind of that trifecta of a person that can come in and help the owner, you know, be there, you know, everything that we talked about before, also with an operations background, so they can make sure that projects are moving along. They understand how the back of a business works. And then lead follow-up. Most business owners do not call their leads within 24 hours. It just happens, right? You get leads come in and they don't reach out to them. And I never understood that. So one of the things that we train on is a less than 5 minute response time. Okay. So in our, for instance, our home service clients, right, that they're getting their, you know, leads from Thumbtack or Angie's List or whatever, those are so competitive. They're going out. These guys are booking 20, 30% more calls because one of our people know that as soon as that bell rings, they're usually on it within a minute or two, scheduling that appointment, because that person, if you don't answer, is going to hang the phone up and go to the next listing on Google and call that next person until they get the appointment. And so one of the things that we teach, not only about the administrative side, is how to get people on board, how to follow up with that lead, and how to continue to follow up with the lead until you get them on the calendar.
Thank you. How did you choose this particular client avatar as your ideal client?
Because it was me. Right. It was me that whenever I learned about virtual assistants and started hiring them, I was in that position. I was working 15, 16 hour days. I hated my life. My health was taking turns. I was actually hospitalized. They thought I had a stroke, right? My blood pressure was like 210 over 190, right? Rushed me to the hospital, put me in the MRI machine, or no, I'm sorry, the CAT scan. They thought I had a brain stroke. And it was then that I realized something had to change. I was wearing everything on my head and on my shoulders. And I knew that if I didn't either get out of the business or find somebody else or other people that could help me run this and get a lot of the stuff that I really hated off my plate, then I could die. And that's something that obviously I didn't want to do. So my client avatar was me before I learned about virtual assistants. So I speak to my pain. I speak to my experiences, and it tends to resonate.
Thank you. Are there any AI tools, AI processes, or other tools that can be leveraged in combination with virtual assistants in order to scale a business from $100K to $1 million?
Absolutely. And I encourage that. Actually, I believe that any virtual assistant, when they're coming into, or any employee for that matter, AI is such a game changer, right? And I always say that, yes, it is going to replace some jobs. It's going to happen, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. But what it's really going to do is going to amplify the people who know how to use it, right? Instead of getting 1x output, 2x output, you can get 100x output, right? I'll give you an example. For today, I have a couple major client, national client presentations that are coming up. And I was stuck. I was stuck on their presentations, right? It's a 45-minute keynote, essentially. So what did I do? I went to ChatGPT and I said, this is what I have. Here's what I'm trying to accomplish. And I was able to knock all of them out today in under 2 hours, to where this was way better than I could have come up with on my own. And so that's part of the things that we teach, is so not only are you now leveraging your time, but we're also teaching people who are coming into your business how to leverage their time as well, so you can get even more out of them.
Thank you. My desired question was actually, what kind of tools are you leveraging in combination with your virtual assistants to help you scale from $100K to $1 million? What AI tools, AI processes, or other tools that are not necessarily AI that you recommend for virtual assistants to leverage for your business to help you scale?
Yeah, definitely ChatGPT or Grok or Claude, or you know, any of the AI platforms are pretty decent, right? As long as you know how to prompt them. Automations in your CRM, huge. Game changer, right? Where you put them in and, you know, again, it takes a little bit of work up front to build it out the way that you want it. But imagine having somebody coming into your funnel and you're automatically following up with them over and over again in a very, you know, non-aggressive way. You know, so just being able to set up, those are two basic things that anybody can do. You know, if you have a CRM, there are automations in there. Go in and learn them, right? And if you don't know how to do it, go into ChatGPT and ask it. Say, here's what I'm trying to accomplish. Here's the CRM that I'm using. Here's what I would like to do. Help me build this. And it will literally walk through step by step. And so now, you know, if you want to scale, you need revenue. You need new clients. And setting up your CRM to be able to do automations that can just remove you from that monotonous day-to-day follow-up. You can automate emails, you can automate texts, you can automate everything. And being able to get that off of your plate and into a software that, guess what, your VA can manage, right? So you're not even doing it anymore. You're just monitoring it and you're watching it come in, you're checking the KPIs on it. That is really how you start to separate yourself. Those are two things that, I mean, we can get really advanced if you want to, but I really don't think that, you know, the audience, if they're trying to get from 100K to a million, that's really, those are the two things they should be focused on.
Thank you. Tell us three examples of case studies of entrepreneurs you've worked with that perhaps your virtual assistants have helped them to go from $100K to $1 million. Doesn't have to be these specific numbers. And tell us about the kind of tools that they used in order to make it happen, aside from actually the virtual assistants. I'm talking about AI tools or something in particular that implemented that made that big difference.
Yeah. I mean, I say kind of going back to your CRM with ChatGPT and your virtual assistant, first and foremost, speed to lead is vital, right? If you want to scale and you want to really take your revenue up to that next level, it requires customers, and business is competitive no matter what industry you're in. So if somebody's reaching out to you, raising their hand saying, "Hey, Chris, I want to talk to you," you need to talk back. And so having somebody in your direct messages, in your DMs, having somebody monitoring your email, having somebody monitoring those Google My Business leads when they're coming in, and being able to immediately interact with this person before they go to their next option down through Google, or they ask their friend for another referral. Because most people, when they reach out, it's, you know, you want to, they want their itch scratched, right? They've got something that they want to solve. Be the one that solves it for them, right? And you can't solve them if you're not talking to them. So one of my clients that I can think of right now, you know, was a kitchen and bath remodeling company out of Chicago. Okay. And they did really well, right? He was probably over a million, but the same principles applied. He was able to change his calendar booking 32% in 3 months. And that has remained consistent since then because he put his virtual assistant on lead follow-up. That was it, right? She was doing other things, but that is the number one thing that contributed to his success. He's also spending more time with his family now because he's not running from fire to fire. He's able to delegate things inside of the business that other people can easily do, but he'd been doing for years. And so, you know, you don't need somebody to come in and really move mountains for you. It's most business owners are a lot closer than they think. They're stuck doing those things that they shouldn't be doing, that where they're not able to focus on the big picture stuff. You got to focus on that or you're never going to get there.
Thank you. What are some other automations that other clients that you've had have put in place? But give us something more specific. Like, was there any particular tool like Zapier or Make or something else that they put in place in combination with some other tool? And how did they use it so that they could actually get to that particular result of optimizing the revenue for their business?
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's a ton of opportunities. There's N8N and there's Make and there's Zapier and there's all these different, you know, plugins and connectors and pieces of technology that talk to one another to create automations. But I'm going to be completely honest with you, Lily. That's something that, you know, I have somebody on staff that handles that internally for us. And it's not something that we specifically teach to our clients, right? We have, our people have the capacity to learn it. And sometimes they do have the experience for it when they're getting hired. But you know, for the most part, that's kind of getting in a little bit further into the weeds than we would handle.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Great question. Thank you. So, and also, if it's okay, I'd like to be able to give something away. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Perfect. So on Instagram is the easiest way to get me. Just follow me and DM me. My name is I Am Chris Killie. That's IAMCHRISKILLE. And we actually have a free gift. It's called the Ultimate Guide to Virtual Assistants. Okay. So it tells you everything about them, where they're at, how to find them, how to interview, how to train, how to onboard. I mean, it is literally the same playbook that we use internally that has, you know, taken us to a multi seven figure business from zero, you know, 4 years of lessons, trials, tribulations. If you follow me and then DM me the word Titan, letting me know that I was here, right? That you listened to this, I'll send it right over to you. And I may have another gift for you too.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.